I'm going to open my Bible to a kind of a familiar area of Scripture this morning in Genesis chapter 22. I got multiple versions here. I don't know. Maybe I put the right one on the screen. Maybe I didn't. But we're going to look at Genesis 22, starting with verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up. He loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, they'd been walking for 3 days now. He said, on the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." It's a portion of Scripture. Anybody that's been raised around the church, raised in Sunday school, you know the story of Abraham and Isaac. And it's been on my heart this week, especially. And we look, and we'll just kind of set some foundation here for Abraham. Most of us know him. Our children in Sunday school are taught the song Father Abraham, right? And he is referred to often as Father Abraham. He is the father of both Islam and Judaism, and then by connection to Judaism, really Christianity too. That's why he's called the father. He's also referred to as the father of faith. Romans 4 states that Abraham believed in God and it was counted to him as righteousness. But he didn't just believe, he put his faith into action over and over again. We see in Hebrews, he's listed in the faith kind of hall of fame. And in many times there are statements to say, you know, by faith Abraham and by faith Noah. I believe I've taught on that recently here. But this morning we're looking at a section of Scripture that we know pretty well. Probably if you've been around the church often, you know the story of Abraham and Isaac. But I want to look at some of the incredible statements that Abraham made and how he arrived at that type of faith, and really about Abraham stepping out into the unknown, into a really scary kind of situation there. He's told to take his son Isaac and to offer him up as a burnt offering. Not only is he going to wound him and kill him, he's being instructed to then set him on fire. And knowing that, knowing what God has instructed him, he makes this gigantic, gigantic statement of faith. He tells his servant, "Wait here, we're going up and we will come down." And I've overlooked that so many times in my life. Overlooked it so many times because I want to get to the part where the angel arrives. I want to get to the part where they find a ram in the thicket. And I see this statement of this man who is a hero of the faith, who is in this unknown situation, and he makes a statement like, "Just wait right there. The boy and I will go to worship, and we will return." How can that be? Knowing the instruction that God had just given him. I know how it can be, because he's a man of great faith. He's a role model of faith for us. And although God had instructed him to go sacrifice his son, previously God had laid upon him tremendous and numerous promises about his son. Promises that his offspring would be like the sands of the seashore, or like the dust is in a field, that his seed, his offspring would be so many. So he's receiving instruction to go kill his son, but he's holding on to promises that God had given him. Many times in Scripture, Abraham is told, "This land, look around you, look this way, look this way, look this way. All of this land is going to be given to Isaac. I will make a great nation of you. through him. And so although he's there walking up, walking this journey, going to sacrifice his son, he's holding on to the words that God has spoken over him. And it makes me pause and it makes me kind of go back in my memory of things that God has promised me that haven't come yet. It makes me pause and it makes me go back to things that I've written down that God has told me in prayers. Anybody else, have you received some promises from God that maybe haven't come true quite yet? Here's Abraham in a scary, scary place, in an unknown place, and his faith is still holding on to things that haven't come to pass yet. His faith said that I'll sacrifice him, but some way, the promises will still come true. I'll sacrifice him. Maybe God will resurrect him. I'll burn him to ashes. Maybe God will put him back together. But however it is going to come about, sometimes I don't understand how the miracle is going to happen. I don't understand how the deliverance is going to happen, but I'm still holding on to the promise that it is going to happen. And I know that we're both coming down off this mountain. I know in my situation often I still know I'm coming out of this valley. I want to be on top of the mountain. But Abraham at this point is on top of a mountain for the purpose of sacrificing, and he is confident that he is coming down with his boy. One of the other things that strikes me so much about Abraham is that he steps out completely into the unknown. God told him, go to the land of Moriah, and that's it. I'll show you more later. I can't stand this kind of stuff. I want to know the details. I think last summer, I another portion of Scripture where God just tells him, go. And he goes, okay. He didn't even ask where. He just went, and that blows my mind. I think I preached a whole message about just going. But it bothers me as a control freak. It bothers me greatly that he tells him, just go. There's a mountain and I'll point it out to you later. Well, could you give me instructions? Could we get some GPS? What if I get lost? I want to know the details. I want to know the rest stops. Is there going to be a Buc-ee's along the way of this journey? You know, all the important decisions you make on a road trip. But he didn't tell him that. He just told him a general, you go into this land, and that's it. And so for 3 days, they're just walking. For 3 days, they're walking into unknown situations, I'm sure full of fear, full of uncertainty at the same. I hope it's okay. I try to have faith in this hand, and sometimes I'm not real. I want to hide my fear that's in this hand too, right? I've got faith here, and I wave it, but at the same time, I'm trying to hide my fear over here. And I'm sure Abraham had some fear. I'm sure he had some uncertainty. Because I do, often. And he's walking, really not knowing where he's going. And for 3 days, they're in the wilderness. And if you look, again, I go back to Genesis 12 where he tells him, just go, and I'll show you later. And without any hesitation, this guy packs his belongings and just sets out. And it's amazing to me the faith that would take, the faith that he had in God to just step out into the unknown. And so they get to where they're going. After 3 days of wandering, God points out what is now known as Mount Moriah. And I'm sure we know the story. He lays Isaac on the altar. He ties him up. I find it really fascinating that there's no struggle here. That's always kind of blown my mind. I imagine at Abraham's old age, this teenager could have whooped him if he wanted to. Where's my son back there? I'm not tying him up onto an altar without him folding me into a pretzel, probably into some jujitsu move that I don't know how to get out of. And I think about that often. It says Abraham, you know, tied him up and put him on an altar. I went, that's Isaac's faith. Maybe not in God, but at least in his father. It's remarkable the example that's been laid on there. I can't imagine how, do you know how difficult it would be to subdue this teenage boy and tie him up, but he's big enough. He was strong enough. He was big enough and strong enough to carry the wood for the sacrifice all the way up a mountain. That's how strong this boy was. But Isaac's faith is on display as well. And I think it had been because he had watched the faith of his father so many times. And as the knife is about to come down, an angel appears and stops Abraham. And then we know there's a ram caught in a thicket, of course. Oh, by chance, I'm sure, right? It was right place, right time. I hate attributing anything to coincidence, because it's not. It's so often just God. It's just a God thing. And Abraham calls the name of the place, a name that has become very familiar now to us as Christians. He calls the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, because God provided. Or literally, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord who will see to it. I love that. I love that so much. It's really not the first time, I guess, he called Jehovah Jireh, because on their journey, Isaac begins to question some things. You know, he's like, we have wood, we have fire, where's the sacrifice, Dad? And Abraham says, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide it. Abraham's faith is built upon God because of their relationship. Some of the greatest truths that we know about God are really developed out of this relationship that Abraham has with him. The first time that God spoke and represented himself, he did so as El Elyon, which is the Most High God. That's how he represented himself to Abraham. The first time God gave his name as El Shaddai was to Abraham. And this revelation built Abraham's faith to the point that he would sacrifice and set his son, you know, onto an altar and expect God to restore him, because he understood God as El Shaddai. El Shaddai has been translated in the King James as God Almighty, but Hebrew scholars kind of translate it a little different. They tell you that it means God All Sufficient. The El, this comes from the word for God, but Shaddai has a different significance there. Shaddai is one of my favorite names for God. It has a meaning there in a mother nursing, really. The Shaddai is a term used for a nursing mother. You see, God revealed to Abraham long before this encounter on a mountaintop with Isaac. God revealed himself to Abraham as God the nourisher, God the strength giver, God the satisfier, who pours himself into all believers. And he revealed to Abraham that everything you need is in me. It's such a beautiful, beautiful name for God. I'm going to call the band back up already this morning. So church, this morning you might be walking in a situation that you don't understand. You might have been blindsided by circumstance. You might have been slapped around by what's going on in your life. But I want to encourage you this morning that God is with you, and He is your El Shaddai. He is your nourisher. He is your strength giver, who has everything you need. The Lord said, whatever that He doesn't spare you from, He walks with you through. And you may not understand where you're at. You may not get it. I don't, man. Oftentimes I just tell the Lord, I don't get it. Why, as a believer, as somebody who serves you, why am I going through what I'm going through? And we may not understand it, but we have the Most High God. We have Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees to it, and we have El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, walking with you. So my question for you this morning is, has God made you any promises in your life? I'll raise my hand. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I'm telling you. Maybe you received a word that was a promise from another believer. Have you received a word in prayer? Has God ever spoken to you in prayer? You have received a word from His book of promises here from the Bible. If God is speaking promises to you, you need to start writing them down. You need to start writing them down. Write them in your Bible. Write them on a sticky note. Journal your prayer time with Him, but start documenting some things. If you receive a word from the Lord, from a person, write it down. If you feel the Spirit talking to you, write it down. Document these things. Say, why? Why? 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, for the promises of God in Him, who knows it, are yea and amen. That's the King James Version. Maybe that doesn't relate anymore to us. I love what the ESV says here. It says, for all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. That's some good stuff right there. I don't know. I'm going to read it again. I like it. For all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. All of our promises through Him, they find their yes. So this morning we're going to worship here one more time before we leave. And you might be in a place this morning where you're in that uncertainty and you need the encouragement, you need the faith build, you need to be gripping the promises a little stronger. Or maybe you already are the father of faith. Maybe you're already emboldened with faith. And then your job here is to be an encourager. I'm going to close out with Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. It said, this is the Message Bible. It said, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going, because He always keeps His word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as the day of the Lord approaches. I like that a lot. Let's get inventive. Let's get creative at how we can encourage one another, how we can spur each other. And so we got a prayer team that's going to come up here this morning as we finish out and close out here, and they'd love to pray with you. If you're in an uncertain situation, if you're kind of walking around right now, God has it clearly laid out, the plan for you. They'd like to pray with you. And the rest of you, our job is to encourage, to spur each other on. Let them see. We're going to hold a firm grip on the promises of God. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, I love You. I love this word, this book of promises that You've left for me, Lord, this beautiful love letter You left to the church. It's my roadmap, my instruction manual for life, God. I'm so thankful that Your word is alive, that Your spirit is alive, that You can speak to us, Lord, that we can listen to Your voice, to Your urging, to Your encouragement, God. And I ask today that You would boost faith in this house. Lord, that You would bring to remembrance promises that You have spoken over lives, over families. That You would bring it to mind once again, Lord. We would hold fast to Your word. We worship Your holy name. Lord, we unite our voices in a spirit of unity to spur each other on and to encourage one another this morning, God.
I love you,
Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have led me through the fire.